Let's restart his clock.
on a very serious note, Nick Fish, Commissioner Salzman, Amanda Frace, and Leonard, we are here because you made a resolution that we stop the deferment of American dreams for a lot of us. You know, we've been here before. Mayor Adams, you've been here 15 years ago. We have done this, we've gone through this path before. But like we have always done, we've paid lofty statements to this issue. Today, you are signing in bold print that never again shall we minus any group, shut out any group, shut the door on any person with respect and regards to contracted in this city. With this resolution, you are making a sound judgment that it's about time to move forward on the promises that have been made to minority contractors. That promise is that we will include you because you also are taxpayers. That promise the city made to minority contractors is that we will provide the capacity for you to get involved. This is not the end. We do not want to grow participants or spectators. We want the dollar amount to be vivid to everyone. When the calculator is brought on to calculate the opportunity, we also want to make sure that minority contractors are not just coming to just shadowing and put a stop on what is not, but also to be involved in the business of opportunity or spreading the opportunity and dividends that you brought on. You know, it is always always very funny to see all these plans and all these resolutions, but I ask you that to put a teeth behind it, to have compliance mechanism behind this. Because 5 years from now, I want you as a council to come back and say, how have we done? How have we done with regard to this resolution? So I want to thank Leonard. You have always been there for some of us. Mayor Adams, your work in this matter has really been very profound. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. King.
Hi, I'm Juanita Head Walton. I am a board member for the African American Chamber of Commerce. Mr. Mayor, Commissioner Leonard, Commissioner Fritz, Fish, and Saltzman, thank you. And also Commissioner Leonard for sponsoring this piece of legislation. I believe this will be a historic piece of legislation. It's very important to the community that we have inclusion rather than exclusion. I believe that based upon having members of the minority community, women and small business owners, this will help our community to make sure that we feel that we are part of this process and what's happening in this city. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Williams.
Of course, Mayor Adams co-sponsored it with me.
Just okay, thank you, Ms. Mayor.
You're right. Mr. Williams.
Good morning. My name is Harold Williams. Mayor Adams, Commissioner Leonard, Fritz, Salzman, and Fish, many statements about diversity, inclusiveness have already happened earlier today in testimonies. What we are here about is not our differences or indifference to those who paved the way in past struggles. But I take my hat off to Commissioner Leonard and Mayor Adams for co-sponsoring this document that would move us closer in the 21st century and inviting all of us citizens to be at the table. You are to be commended because a city that's of our size and one of the whitest cities in America, this is historical. To recognize people of color and other cultures to have a place at the table, this just doesn't happen. Forget New York, LA, Philadelphia, Chicago, it ain't gonna happen. But in Portland, Oregon, You truly made it, the City of Roses, that inclusive of everyone. We talk about people, Salzman and his struggles in making things better with the police, Fish in bringing unity to people, the Lionheart in the great compassion of Leonard, and the sensitivity of Ms. Fitz. All of that in the leadership that you bring will give us a stage to have a voice, to do something great, to be at the table, to see that we will have a piece of the pie. It can no longer say that we weren't at the table. We didn't have a knife to cut. You gave us a choice to do the cutting of the pie or choosing of the slice. We can't do both. And with that opportunity, we thank you for moving forward. You'll have some that say, not now. But the question is, if not now, then when? We say, who will be the best voice? You've spoken for all of us. I look at this picture here. I don't see a black face, brown face, but I see beautiful hearts that are inclusive of everybody. And with your heart and your compassion and your mind, I thank you for bringing us to the table. And however you vote today, I'm here to stand with you in making this a better place. And those who came to challenge it and to disagree and to wait, I say shame on you. The time is now, and I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Thank you all.
So, Mayor Adams, we have one signed up guest that has to leave early from the Small Business Advisory Council. If I could call him up, Bruce Feathers.
Sure, Mr. Feathers. Welcome back to the City Council. Glad you're here.
Thank you very much. It's just been a brief departure. Good morning.
Good morning.
I've already taken my hat off to you, Commissioner Leonard, that's sitting over there. Thank you for allowing me to step forward and meet some of the commitments in my schedule. My name is Bruce Feathers. I'm the chairman and CEO of Featherlight. Just a little bit about to establish my legitimacy. By way of background, I have worked over 11 years in three mayoral administrations on task forces, ad hoc committees, review boards, evaluation committees, fair contracting forums, you name it. And most recently, as the co-chair with Jeff Baer on the Goods and Services Committee, which eventually led to the development of the new supplier diversity program. All of this in a collaborative effort alongside the City Procurement Services Department, as well as with some contract administrators and project managers. Historically, and up until this present day, the city's own data has a dismal record in achieving the goals to increase procurement from MWESB firms, and I'm talking about professional services, construction, and goods and services combined. But having said that, in recent years, that commitment has increased, and there has been some significant groundwork that has been laid in the attempt to turn things around. This resolution proposed by Commissioner Leonard, co-sponsored by the mayor, is monumental and the most significant initiative that's targeted at some of the very cores of the problem. And I think it's important for me to explain to you some of the cores. There's three. One, while there has been champions in the past among council members to establish the vision and the policy to increase MWESB contracts, at the implementation and execution stage, which is controlled by project managers and contract administrators, we find a lack of commitment, and that's when the vision begins to break down. So, two, also in that stage exists the development of the scope of work created by the project manager, and because of the lack of training, commitment to the vision, that scope rarely includes MWESB protocol language required for the vision to be manifested. I'm hurrying. So you find sometime a tug of war between the Procurement Services Department trying to uphold the vision and MWESB protocols and the contract administrator. It's like baking a cake, where your involvement can come at the stage of putting in the ingredients as opposed to at the stage where the cake is already done. And I'm done with this. So the keepers of the vision, which is the procurement services group, are the ones who have the deepest knowledge of the policy and protocols associated with that implementation, but they historically have had little reaction, oversight, or compliance, that's important, that can hold project managers and contract administrators accountable. So therefore, as I close, this resolution strikes at the very core of some of these problems, and it provides, as many have said, the opportunity for us to have a seat at the table and begin chiming in on some of the other issues that have impeded our progress. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Feathers, and thank you for your service on the Small Business Advisory Council. Thank you.
The next three are, Hector Laura Cervantes, Bianca Kedney, and John D. Witte.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Welcome back.
Fine, Sam.
How about John Jackley? And they'll be followed by Lily Mandel, Faye Birch, and Erwin Mandel.
So welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here.
Thank you. My name is John Witte. I'm going to get going right off the bat because we've got no time to waste. I own my own business in North Portland. We've been around the city a long time, and you could tell by the gray hair that I've been here before. But this resolution is supported by a lot of people, including the Native American Chamber of Commerce. The Native American community has actually been the silent minorities. We have not put our face out there. That time has changed. It's a time of change for us. In joining the other chambers, we're in a coalition to work for all of us together to take and try to show and showcase what we all can do. I'm really proud that this resolution has been presented. We support it, but it's not without issues. You'll probably hear some of those, but I really think it's monumental for the city of Portland to have this resolution, and I think it's going to be really bring a lot of acclaim to the city of Portland. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hi there. My name is Bianca Kedney, and I'm the secretary of the board of the Oregon Native American Chamber. I also work at OHSU in the Affirmative Action Office. And I'd like to thank the mayor. I'd like to thank Randy Leonard, commissioner, and all the rest of the commissioners. And I'll be very brief on this. I'd like to say that, first of all, this is about inclusion, and that is including all of the chambers. All of us are participating, including the silent ones, the Oregon Native American Chamber. This resolution allows all of us to have a seat at the table, I think, and for the Native American community to thrive and not just survive. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jackley. Now give a round of applause. That was good.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, I'm John Jackley, the Communications and Business Equity Director at PDC. We had the opportunity to talk and work with Mr. Jay and council staff on this resolution. PDC strongly supports the resolution. We'll prepare a similar resolution for the PDC board for the January 27 meeting. We'll also make sure that it covers things such as development agreements in addition to the traditional direct contracting that the city does. I've participated over the years in countless of these review committees, and the process can only be improved by having this kind of participation. It's going to improve accountability, transparency, and understanding, and we're looking forward to working with everyone to make it successful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson.
Really appreciate that, John. I mean, the change in the relationship between the PDC and the council can't be better exemplified than you being here today with what you said. And if people don't understand the significance of PDC in economic development, you are the economic development arm of the city, so it is a huge thing that you're here today making the commitment you are. So on behalf of all of us here that believe in this approach, I hope you pass along my thanks to Bruce Warner, the executive director, and the entire PDC board.
I will. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The last three are Lily Mandel, Faye Birch, and Erwin Mandel.
Welcome back.
Hi.
We've missed you.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Not everyone, I'm sure.
I missed you.
We weren't scared away, Sam.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Lily Mandel, and I'm delighted to be here to praise this resolution proposed by Mayor Adams and Commissioner Leonard because it is inclusive. We've heard this word all over. I had it written before, but because it is inclusive of all our citizens, and the contract boards won't remain exclusive. This resolution does address inequities, and passage is real progress, but it's long overdue. I hope that I'm going to win this bet. I'm sure this council will unanimously pass this historical resolution. Thank you.
If they weren't, they are now.
Or else.
How much did you bet?
I'm not telling you.
Make sure you're Mandel.
Good morning. Irwin Mandel. Lily and I moved to Portland from New York some 16 and a half years ago. And as most of you are aware, we've taken part in what's been happening in the city, and we've watched it develop. I'll be very frank about it. When we first moved here, one of the things that really bothered us, having lived in Greenwich Village for all those many years, that we were practically living in Honkyville at the time. And let me tell you, it did bother us. Things have changed. We've made many friends in the black community, and I don't think we've enjoyed this city. We bragged about living in it. It's a wonderful city. But I think I can speak for Lily when I say we will never be as proud to live in Portland as we will when this resolution passes.
Thank you, Mr. Mandel. Ms. Birch, welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. My name is Faye Birch, and I'm the Vice President of NAMCO, National Association of Minority Contractors, and I own my own business as well. We at NAMCO applaud your leadership in setting the tone in many areas of professional services and contracting, first to conduct a disparity study in the mid-1990s, first with an SMP program, and again first to design a monumental workforce development program. We wish to bring no ill will to the Alliance by our comments. We certainly have worked with them in many opportunities before. We just disagree with this particular resolution. The program that you are introducing today, we at NAMCO strongly believe you are missing the mark. We want to encourage you to be steadfast in your determination to achieve better opportunities for minorities, but to not make a move that abdicates your responsibility by giving it to an association. You have a process that allows for inclusion for many venues, you just need to use it more. Our members bid frequently on City of Portland processes. As a matter of fact, one of our members did all the iron work in this chamber, who's here today. We always volunteer for committees and whatever is needed to help improve small businesses and contracting opportunities. This time, our opinions were only asked after the resolution was introduced in council. In the long run, this could cost the city more money to implement it. It is you we depend upon to hold accountable for a fair and equitable, transparent process. Please dust off your existing process of diversity recruitment, enact it, and leave the city in the driver's seat. Thank you very much. And I have copies of my testimony as well as copies of other members' testimony.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson. Appreciate your testimony. Thank you all. Is that everyone who signed up? Does anyone else in the room wish to testify before we vote on this matter? All right, Carla, if you could please call the vote.
Leonard?
Well, it's been frustrating to me as I've sat here, and frankly, I haven't been the one asking the question. Normally, it's Commissioner Saltzman and or Commissioner Adams that pry when we vote on contracts as to why there aren't more women or minority or emerging businesses that are part of the contract we're letting. Although I haven't asked the question, I've listened carefully for over seven years now, and taken notes. And the reasons I've heard back are not irrational reasons. We don't get qualified applicants, and on and on and on. We should not understate the African American Chambers of Commerce's role in bringing this forward. Roy J. Brought forward this concept to me and felt that we could either do more analysis and more study and ask a lot more questions and be frustrated, or we could try to change how we did business. And for good or for bad, I usually vote in favor of trying to change something rather than talk about changing something. But having said that, the resolution that you have before you, I am convinced, would not be in its present form without the great work of Jeff Baer. Thank you, Jeff, for your involvement. Jeff is truly a breath of fresh air, not just on this issue, on a host of other issues I work with him on very closely, so I really appreciate it. Ty Kovach, who was the point person in my office that stayed up late at night as I've abdicated my reign to Commissioner Fritz and Ty and Roy Jay to stay up past midnight to answer emails. Ty stood in for me very well doing that, and I appreciate all of his hard work as well. But finally, I want to appreciate the community that worked with us in developing this. I went probably a month ago or so to a meeting of some 50 folks who saw a rough draft of this, who then took it and worked on it and passed it around and refined it until it took the form that it is in today. So thank all of you for working with us, and I really appreciate the efforts of everybody in bringing this together. It truly was a community effort, and I've never been so delighted or more thrilled about a product that I've had some involvement in. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, I want to start by thanking Mr. Roy Jay and all of your community partners for your great work on this project and for bringing something to us, which, as Mr. Williams said, is historic, and because no other city does it. And it seems so simple, and yet it's going to work. I know from being the seventh woman on the city council in 158 years that just having a different perspective at the table can make a difference, and that we need to have people literally at the table. And that's what this does, and it's exciting. There has been a question raised in those late night emails about whether this will serve as a bridge or as a gate. And I appreciate the amendment that was brought forward. It's very clear to me that this is intended to be an open gate and a bridge to helping everybody participate. So I think that it's very clear that anybody who wants to can step up to ask to be on these panels. It's not intended to become an exclusive club. It's intended to open the gates. And so I appreciate the Native American Chamber coming and sitting in solidarity with the African American Chamber and the Hispanic Chamber and so many others who do such good work in our community. And as we mentioned with Casey Jama's report, it is our community. It is all of our community. And the diversity makes us better. And I think that the diversity in these contracts will help us do better as well. So thank you very much for all of your work. Thank you, Commissioner Leonard and Mayor Adams. Aye.
Fish.
Well, I want to start by acknowledging Roy Jay. When Roy came to talk to me about this, we managed to spend most of the time talking about his forthcoming book on healthy eating. And
really?
Some changes he's made in his life that he thought might be useful for this 51-year-old legislator. But we also talked a little bit about the work that he's been doing on Project Clean Slate. And you know, there are few programs in this city that have a bigger impact on people's lives than Clean Slate. And as the housing commissioner, where we're constantly faced with people having barriers to getting rental housing because something shows up on their credit history or their background check, the fact that you're helping people correct mistakes they made in their past so they have a chance to get on with their lives going forward is tremendous. So, Roy, thank you for your leadership on this and all the good work you do in our community. Randy has been the leader on this, but it's only natural because if you look at his bureaus and you look at the quality of the people in leadership positions that he has control over, they reflect the great diversity of our community. Randy doesn't just say equity is something that he cares about in his bureaus. Look at the senior leadership, and what we often hear is it's wonderful to have people in entry-level positions, but show us the people in the leadership positions. And Randy has consistently put that into So, you know, once again, I'm proud of his work in this area. Mayor, your work with Commissioner Leonard and the evolution of this draft and the evolution of this concept has only made it stronger. which is just proof that if you have more people involved in something, it gets better. So thank you for your leadership, and you have for 15 years made this a priority of your service. You know, I think we've all learned from our life experience that the best way to give people a voice, a meaningful voice, is to make sure they have a seat at the table. Without a seat at the table, how can you exercise that voice? This gives people a seat at the table and a chance to improve a process we're very committed to. And Randy's right. Sometimes you need to sort of jump the line and try something rather than studying it to death. We are, in fact, studying some other pieces, which is the disparity study, which will have some results next summer. And we'll use that data to help strengthen the sheltered market program in its totality. But today, thanks to the leadership of my two colleagues, we get to do something now, today, that'll make a difference. So I am very proud to not only lend my support to this, but to help Lily out on her bet. And I vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank Commissioner Leonard and Mayor Adams for bringing this forward. I think it's a long overdue good idea, and it's something that I hope will make a difference. We did hear some very good news at a budget briefing we had Tuesday, just yesterday, about how we've increased the number of minority city employees by 20%, I think, over 2 years. So that's not bad. And I hope with this new process that we will have similar leaps and bounds with minority contracts and participation. I think the key will be, though, you know, it's going to be incumbent upon all of you in this room and the various organizations to make the time. These are time-consuming efforts to evaluate proposals, and so it's going to be key to make sure that you have people that are going to show up and do the hard work, because it is a lot of hard work. But I think it will make a difference for the better, and I do think this is a major step in the right direction. So I'm pleased, as always, to once again agree with Commissioner Leonard on so many things. and vote aye.
Adams. Yeah, you're a regular rubber stamp. So I believe that every Portlander has a right to equal economic opportunities, and I think it's important that every Portlander understand that we currently don't offer that, and we have not offered that in this city, at least as far back as we can find the statistics. This morning, Roy J. Gale, some others are on the mayor's economic cabinet. We shared information from 2008. Some of the 2007, 2008 was some of the most prosperous years this city has ever seen and this nation has ever seen. And yet, in the best of economic times for the city as a whole, Portlanders of color were anywhere from 35% to 50% below median family income. And this is the best economic year. This recession has been punishing to many people across all racial and ethnic categories, but it's been especially punishing to people of color, and it's been especially punishing to African Americans. African American males have really struggled. And I've said for years that when we see parity among African American males to the Caucasian white community, just as one example among many, we'll know we're getting somewhere, because it's really tough. So my passion is for getting the results that we seek and leading by example when it comes to workforce and contracting opportunities. And I've been at this a long time. My passion is not wedded to the way we do things. So when I first heard of this idea, I recognized it for what it is, and that is a fantastic idea. And I want to thank the community, Roy J. and the entire Gail, everyone who's worked on this, because it's something that it's one of those, aha, yes, that will help. Not a panacea, but there isn't one single effort that's going to make the change we all seek. It's going to take a variety of different sort of efforts from different angles, and we're going to have to keep working at it until we get the results we want. So it's a really fantastic idea, and I'm glad that it came from the community. I'm also glad that Commissioner Leonard and his team and staff have expertly shepherded it through the process of getting it to council, and I'm very proud to be a co-sponsor. But I want to thank you for all the great work you and Ty and your team have done. It's really been fantastic, and I am thrilled to support it. I encourage you all to get actively involved in the Portland plan because that's where the fundamental framework for the next 25 years of this city is going to be laid out. We have to do it by state law, but we want to do it right. Finally, just to show that we're serious about this, we're getting a coordinator on this task that is second to none. I know her from her work in a variety of different areas, but Tiffany, would you stand up and be recognized? Congratulations. I'm very pleased to vote aye and begin the work of implementation. Aye. So approved. That gets us to regular agenda item number. Oh, good work. Really good work. Thank you. Mr. Williams, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Great to see you again. Thank you. How are you? Good to see you, my friend. Happy holidays.
Good work.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure, ma'am. Always a pleasure. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Great testimony.
Thank you.
How are you?
Nice to see you. Thank you very much. Good job.
Thank you.
I need to talk to you.
Okay. You need a
Let me give you my phone. Oh, Tiffany, congratulations. Did I surprise you?
Thank you, sir. I'm fine, thank you.
Give me a holler, would you?
Okay, come.
Yeah. Okay, good. We'll let this roll for a few minutes.
Thank you.
Oh, nice. Thank you. Great.
Oh, excellent. Great. Yeah, I like the new car. That's great. You betcha. Hey, Dean. How are you? Happy holidays. Hi. Louisa, nice to meet you.
Thanks for being here. Job.
Oh, do you have a card?
It's growing.
Okay. Could you drop by your new contact information upstairs?
Okay, yeah, because I'm our group to come. We have African American, Latino, Asian.
I want to come out and do a Portland plan presentation to your group.
Okay. Yeah. You know, we're out there in Southwest Washington.
That's great.
You come across the river?
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, one big reason. Region, how are you? Yeah, of course. Nice to see you. How's business holding up? Good, good. Oh, you bet. Happy to do it. No,
posting on my Facebook. I keep up with you that way. Who are you with?
There you go.
The card? Oh, okay. Oh, good. Honored to be one of the first recipients. Nice to meet you.
Good. Well, I want to get the perspective for the Portland plan of you do business in Portland, and you're part of the region, and I want to get your perspective.
you're off.
Right. Good.
Yeah, you let me know what time I'm there.
Right.
Yeah, if you guys can do it afternoon.
So we'll, I'll get a hold of you. Thanks. Hey, how are you? Great idea. Great idea.
If you don't want to do, you
okay? Good to see you. My pleasure.
Good, good, good. I know what you mean.
How are you?
Nice to see you. Thank you. Good, I'm glad you like it. Yeah, I'm impressed too.
Hello, sir. How are you? Good to see you. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Thank you for being here. Absolutely. Very great. A good day.
All right. I guess we should get back to work.
Yeah.
So we have to move on with our agenda.
Yeah,
oh, great. What's your name?
Lindsay McElroy.
Nice to meet you.
For opportunity. I like what I heard.
Great. Welcome to Portland. Glad you're here. All right, Carla, we are at, where are we at? At a page
17.
The mayor, maybe.
1746, sorry.
If I could ease this transition with some breaking news.
Yes.
We have breaking news that.
Keep going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Breaking news that the tunnel boring machine, Rosie, not our police chief, but Rosie the tunnel boring machine, this morning was successfully removed from our Swan Island pump shaft and barged up the river and is now docked near OMSI, where it will be placed back underground and it will be starting to bore south and finish the east side big pipe tunnel.
Yay!
So, a successful mission. Well done.
Rosie.
Congratulations, Bureau of Environmental Services.
Thank you, Bureau of Environmental Services. Okay. All right, Carla, can you please read the title for purchasing report item number 1746?
Mm-hmm. Accept bid of Landis and Landis Construction for the Lentz Sanitary Sewer Extension Project for $2,396,757.
Good morning, Ms. Moody. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Christine Moody, Procurement Services. In front of you is a purchasing agent report recommending a contract award to the low bidder in the amount of $2,084,039. The Bureau of Environmental Services rates the level of confidence as optimal on this project. The city identified six divisions of work for potential MWSB subcontracting opportunities, and participation on this project is at 48.2%. And work is being performed in the areas of concrete cutting and traffic control. So I'll turn this back over to council if you have any questions.
Discussions from council.
Sounds very good.
Anyone wish to testify in 1746? Entertain a motion to accept the purchasing report.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote on 1746?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Very glad to see that the minority women emerging small business participation is 48.2% if the subcontracting. Thank you very much. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
I agree with Commissioner Fritz. That's very good news, particularly on the heels of the resolution we just passed. Very appropriate. Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1746 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 1747?
Approve settlement of claims with XO Communications Services, Inc.
Commissioner Fritz.
And this is an emergency because we are getting a lot of money and we want it right now. And the city will be receiving $2.44 million before the end of the year due to the settlement of the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management with XO Communications. XO Communications has been doing business in Portland since 2001. We have a franchise agreement with XO. And in 2006, a routine audit showed that Portland had not received all the money owed, and the city entered into negotiations with XO. When those negotiations proved fruitless in 2008, the City Council authorized litigation to enforce the franchise agreement. The city has now reached a settlement with XO that will bring $2.44 million to the city general fund to cover unpaid principal and interest due from January 2001 to August 2009. XO is now paying the ongoing franchise fees owed under the franchise agreement. The agreement includes a provision that allowed EXO to request repayment of the $2.44 million if the Time Warner litigation had received from the Supreme Court. However, on Monday, the Supreme Court denied that, what David Olson just said, therefore ending any potential claim of the $2.4 million payment. I'm very pleased to introduce David Olson, the office of the director of the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management.
Thank you, Commissioner, and thank all of you for the managing the tongue-twisting office over which I preside. I also want to say a couple of words here. The cert denial, and many of you would appreciate this, on Monday was the main contingency separating us from this settlement. That was the only contingency surrounding it, and absolutely clears the way and removes all issues surrounding collecting this money. It's more fundamentally important than that. The cert denial on Monday has ended 8 years of litigation with the telecommunications industry under five commissioners in charge, three of whom are seated at the rostrum as I speak. It's quite significant. At least two of you were here, and we worked for two of you who were about to come on the council when our major incumbent telephone company walked in 8 years ago and said, we're not going to pay you anymore. And not only that, we're not going to pay you starting right now, unilaterally. And the rest of the telecommunications industry in Portland said, me too. If they don't pay, we don't pay. At the time, that was nearly $7 million a year in your general fund. After, as I say, 8 years, the city has won every case, and the Supreme Court has now denied review of the last one. So for the first time, your tongue-twisting bureau can sit in front of you and say under all of our commissioners in charge in the city that we are not at this exact second in litigation the telecommunications industry in Portland for the first time practically this decade. That doesn't happen accidentally. It happens only through a team effort, and it happens only through a bureau that you have supported and allowed us to be entrepreneurial and take advantage of opportunities, work with the city attorney's office, and really move very rapidly in this environment. The council has always, and as commissioners in charge currently and past, have always supported our ability to do that. Much appreciated. Although we are not at this moment in litigation with the telecommunications company, that is not to say more threats don't face the city, that they continue to face the city. You have an expiring cable franchise, not only here but countywide, that in essence has brought inexpensive broadband access to schools and libraries throughout this county. And that cable franchise is expiring, and our incumbent operator says they won't sign another one. That is a challenge facing you. You have a situation, as the council well knows, where phones you plug into the wall are the only ones that pay their cost of public services. That's a challenge you will continue to face. You have the telecommunications industry active in Washington, D.C., and in Salem, and locally looking for every opportunity in a competitive business to not pay their fair share and to attack your authority at every level. You are very well aware of that. Nevertheless, it is cause for celebration that we're not in court, that we have one of hopefully several more upcoming settlements in front of you so that the taxpayers and the city gets its due in terms of the revenue that supports public services. None of this would be possible without a dedicated team, and it does take a village to do this, as Commissioner Fritz said. Not only the staff of our office, but litigators in the city attorney's office. I'd like to recognize Ben Walters and Terry Thatcher. After 8 years, you now have a crack team of telecom litigators that's second almost to none in the nation. Experience helps. Our outside counsel, Miller Van Eaton, Joe Van Eaton in particular, has also been enormously helpful over the years. Our own team inside the office, you've continued to support. Our office, tongue twister as it is, I would say a high percentage of our office is in this chamber right now. We're small. But Mary Beth Henry, our deputy director, and Dave Solis, our utility program manager, also have been instrumental in this and other both past and future items that will come before you. Also recognize Melvin Riddick, providing staff support and our key administrative support from Carol Justice. It takes a village to do this. So last but not least, I want to thank this council and your predecessors and successors, as it were, for continuing to defend city revenues, support the importance of local control of the right-of-way, and to not give away public property for nothing to one segment of the industry. So we also thank you, and we thank you for acknowledging and supporting this settlement.
Uh-oh, you must have said something.
I must have missed somebody.
Mr. Walters.
Council, Ben Walters with the City Attorney's Office. Just a couple of points. Besides the obvious benefit to the city of receiving the payment from EXO in this settlement, there are a couple of other benefits that I want to call your attention to. One is the certainty that we derive from the settlement of the types of revenues that they will be paying on, and the resolution as an outcome of the audit of what it is that we can depend on EXO to be paying on a going forward basis. So that's a benefit to the city and to the office. And because of that certainty, it will also help us in discussions that we have ongoing with several other telecommunications providers regarding similar questions about what they are or are not required to pay franchise fees on. So there, it sets a precedent for us in resolving those others. And as David alluded to, we have discussions going with a couple of other providers, and this will help us in getting closure in those discussions, or at least that's what we anticipate. So I wanted to bring those two bits of information to your attention as well.
Thank you. That's very helpful. And I'll note that this council, with the previous council, assigned the first $4 million of ongoing revenue to the Bureau of Transportation to provide necessary ongoing maintenance. And then the one-time settlements go to the general fund for the council to decide how best to appropriate them according to priorities. So that's, it's very good work.
And I guess there is one other thing that the sort of topical aspect of the denial of the petition submitted by Time Warner to the Supreme Court does resolve one aspect of uncertainty that had hung over the settlement. Because that's now resolved, to the extent that our office would have advised that the city maintain some sort of reserve to cover a contingency on that unresolved development at the time we actually inked the settlement document, that, as you've noted, is now done, and we've got that behind us. So these are not no longer at play, as the case may be.
Thank you.
I'd just like to commend that tongue-twisting office that did such a great job. Maybe we'll reward you with a new name, so think about that. But also our capable attorneys, Ben and Terry. And I just want to note that this was not only important to the city of Portland, but to every city in the state of Oregon. And they were all joined in the litigation, but clearly I think Portland really, I hope LOC is not listening, but Portland clearly carried the day on this and added the gravitas to make this to make us prevail at every step of the way. So this is important for every city in the state of Oregon, not just Portland. Good work.
Has anyone signed up to testify?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Does anyone wish to testify on this matter? Item 1747. Not seeing anybody. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Leonard?
I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for shepherding this through the last hurdles that were very perilous, and also acknowledge the great work of the Office of Cable and Franchise, particularly David and Ben, who I had the opportunity to work with on not just this but other issues as well over the years, really grown to respect their technical knowledge, professionalism, and hard work. And this is a big deal. Thank you. Aye.
Fritz.
I actually have a prop.
Oh, that's
so I feel like Santa's helper. So we do have 1/3 of the Office of Cable Communication and Franchise Management in our chambers today with David Olson, Dave Solis, and Mary Beth Henry. And so thank you to all of your team for bringing us this settlement. Thank you to Ben Walters and Terry Thatcher for representing the city well in these negotiations. As Commissioner Leonard alluded, it was not easy, and we're very glad to have it by the end of the year. Thank Tim Crail and Margarita Molina in my office, and also Tom Bizzo, who worked very hard over the course of this year. And mentioned to citizens that David Olson did say that we are going to be entering into negotiations with a key franchise holder. The Your Voice survey is currently up online and is linked from my office, so please go to my website and give us your opinion on what's needed in technology services. And again, thank you so much to everybody, and I'm very proud to be in charge of the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management. I don't support change the name. It took me 3 months to learn it, so now that I can rattle it off, it seems we're good. Anyway, that's a minor detail. The important part is how hard Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management staff work, and the pride that you take in putting this money into the general fund. We recently had a discussion of your administrative position, and even that was something that had to be requested rather than being expected, even despite the millions of dollars that you helped bring into the city. So thank you very much. Aye.
Fish.
It just struck me that David was too polite to say it, but 8 years of litigation under Commissioner Leonard. In 6 months, we had a settlement. I just want to acknowledge that elections do matter. And having new leadership, you know, does get results. And so to the office team, congratulations. And Amanda, great work. Aye.
Thank you.
You forgot one important thing there.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Santa's helper there for bringing some new revenue. Good work, everybody. Aye.
Adams.
Just fantastic work bringing it home, Commissioner Fritz, and to your wise shepherding of a great team. To those of you that worked on this before, thank you for the work during the time that you were responsible for it. I'm pleased to accept this money. Aye.
And if so I might approved. Just ask your indulgence for 1 second, this is the last hearing of the year, my first year in office. So I just want to acknowledge that my husband, Steve Fritz, when I said, do you have a Santa hat? He's like, of course, and here it is. So whether it's been lending me the zebra car for parades or providing dozens of photographs for the Office of Healthy Working Rivers at the Working Willamette, my family has been very supportive to me in all of the work that I've done, and I just wanted to recognize that. Thank you.
All right.
Mayor, before you read the next item, can I just give you a heads up?
Yes. I'm leaving.
1748, we hope to have that done in 10 minutes. And there's a typo in 1749. We don't anticipate a 20-minute presentation, about a 1-minute presentation. So as you're doing your scheduling here, we'll have these done no more than 15 minutes combined.
Well, that changes how I was going to vote on both of them. That's great.
And are they together?
No, but the same people presenting will address both.
All right. So, Carla, can you please read the title for annual report, item number 1748?
Accept the residential tax exemption 2009 annual report.
Commissioner Nick Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to invite Director Margaret Van Vliet and Kate Allen to come forward. Mayor and colleagues, this is the second annual report that we have presented to you on tax abatements. It continues the commitment that we as a body have made to greater transparency and accountability in the use of this tool. Yesterday, we dropped off at your offices a copy of the PowerPoint, and we have a brief presentation to give you the highlights, and then we'll take your questions. And then at the conclusion of the presentation, I want to give you just an update on what we'll be doing with Multnomah County next year. I do, though, want to acknowledge the great work of the staff at the Portland Development Commission, our friends at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, of course, at Multnomah County, and the work of the folks at the new Portland Housing Bureau who have contributed to this report. And in particular, I want to acknowledge the hard work of Jenny Callas, Kim McCarty, Beth Kay, and Kate Allen. And it's my pleasure to turn it over to our new director, Margaret Van Vliet.
So, again, Margaret Van Vliet, Director of the Portland Housing Bureau, Mayor Adams and Commissioners, we're happy to be here. I think you're going to appreciate the report that Kate is going to deliver for you, and we'll put some closing remarks on it after she's completed.
Good morning, Kate Allen, member of the Housing Policy and Planning Team at the Portland Housing Bureau. Here today to present the 2009 annual report on the residential tax exemption programs. I think each of your offices received a copy of the PowerPoint. We just dropped off some additional with Carla. Some of the numbers are a little small to see, so if you want that as a backup. The Portland Housing Bureau has now oversight responsibility for the tax exemption programs and preparation of this annual report. The report reflects the work of the Bureau, Portland Housing Bureau, the Bureau's City's Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and the Portland Development Commission. Commissioner Fish acknowledged a number of the folks who did work on this. We were also assisted by the services of both Shelley Hack and Javier Mena, who provided good backup information, as well as Barbara Sack and Robert Johnson at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and Bob Clay as well. So we have a short presentation today highlighting key information from the report with a focus on program outcomes, the results of monitoring and compliance activities, our accountability for the program improvement recommendations made by Council several years ago, and I'm going to give you a snapshot of the bigger policy context in which we're working. Staff are on hand to answer questions about programs or anything in the presentation if you'd like to do that. So we're talking about the five tax exemption programs, and just a reminder that these programs impact both rental and ownership properties within the city. We're going to give you some visuals on those. So when you think about the nonprofit low-income housing abatement program, think about the Admiral Apartments. The goal of this program is to support an adequate supply of low-income housing and the prevention of homelessness. The Admiral is a property operated by REACH, 37 units serving very low-income seniors. Many are over 70, disabled, and have lived at the Admiral for a very long time. This is a preservation project, part of the Portland Housing Bureau's efforts in that area. So the new multi-unit housing program is both a rental and ownership program to support living close to work, the creation of a vibrant residential community in the central city, and accommodation of population growth. You're looking at a picture of the West Shore, which when it was developed in 1996 by a private developer, was made use of the new multi-unit abatement. That's 113 units, studios and one bedrooms, serving low-income workforce in the downtown.
Where is that?
That's at
Third and Pine.
That property was recently acquired by REACH Community Development and will continue to serve that same population. When you think of the transit-oriented development programs, again, both rental and ownership, the goal of the program is to support public investment in transit and accommodation of population growth. You're looking at the Bookmark Apartments in the Hollywood District. This was developed by Sockeye Development, 47 units, one and two bedrooms. 19 of those units are affordable to households earning 60% of median. And the ground floor tenants of that property are the Multnomah County Library and a coffee shop. And then the two single-family exemption programs, we sort of think about as our neighborhood strategies. The single-family new construction, and you're looking at a copy or a picture of the Party Commons, supports neighborhood revitalization and affordable homeownership in target areas. And then the rehab program is the other neighborhood-oriented program. So we're going to a quick program overview. And last year we showed you the 07-08 tax year results and reported for the first time the total foregone revenue across all programs. That's that first brown-headed column. This year's report includes cumulative results for program activity, including a look back at that 07-08 report, the 08-09 tax year actuals, which we just received reports from Multnomah County in September or early October. And then we've gone ahead and put on the estimated results of the program activity that occurred during 9-10. That would be additional approvals that you have made, as well as terminations and expirations. In their cover letter to the report, which you have, Commissioner Fish and Director Van Vliet called your attention to the declining trend in foregone revenue against a fairly consistent number of units that the programs are serving. You'll notice that there's a decline in all but the nonprofit program. We believe this is probably the economy affecting development activities kind of at the highest level.